from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good morning, Chatterbox! Put your hands together and welcome Floyd and the Crispy Pops! With us today, we've got Snap, Crackle, Pop and Floyd, members of Floyd and the Crispy Pops, care of the wonderful new game Rock Band. And of course, joining us are Aura.
I'm a soloist myself.
And Rich.
Hello.
Rich plays Crackle. I myself,
yes.
I play the whole gamut, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. I haven't been Floyd the bassist. Now, with us, we also have Robert, or should I call you, is it Rob?
I don't care.
Got it, by the mic, dude. Mike.
That's fine, yeah. Robert's
right.
Good.
Robert's good, and we also have George.
Hey.
These are, so now Robert, you were Pop, and you were Snap.
I was Pop and Snap, yes.
Okay. See, we have multiple personalities, and George, you were pretty much always just Floyd, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think I was Floyd the whole
pretty much.
All right, you
got to
explain some of this
you
to
did
me,
sing a little bit.
I
all right,
have no
so
idea what you guys were talking about.
We created, before the show, the number one most popular band in all of rock band history, Floyd and the Crispy Pops. And Snap is a cute, very small girl with the pink bangs, very energetic. Now, Crackle... A bit of a punk rocker.
She has a shaved head.
Shaved
and she
head.
Plays the drums.
I have
drums.
A shaved head. Do you think
you
I
do.
Could play the drums as well?
You look a little bit like Crackle, actually, but you would need to slim down a bit. You're a bit more of a, you know, larger man.
Well,
rather than
I am trying to
thin,
watch
woman.
My girlish figure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Pop is very tall.
Does this shirt make
very
me look
lumbrous,
fat?
But
yes,
she has
Aura,
the bouffant hair. Blonde Barbie doll appearance. That's Pop, and she's the lead of the band. She's the singer. She brings all the boys to the yard with her milkshake. And Floyd, of course, actually, we haven't even created Floyd. Floyd was an import character from your stupid memory card. But Floyd, coming soon. Wonderful game. A little bit of an issue with the interface. I don't know if you ran into this. In fact, I bet
yeah.
that you did not run into this, Aura, playing solo.
No, because I fly solo.
Okay, but what was your impression of Rock Band, which I'm sure absolutely paled in comparison to ours?
I don't know about you guys, but I was like, I mean, I just played the guitar part, right?
Okay.
And besides the fact that I was just totally impressed with the new guitar controller, even more than just by looking at it.
So your right? Walmart special was not defective in any way?
Not yet.
I never told you mine's missing three screws.
Okay,
two,
that's...
Two screws.
Yeah, maybe they're a little late on the quality control out there in Wisconsin
I think
or wherever
they just,
making those things.
Maybe like the, you know, Lucy
Wisconsin?
On the...
Wisconsin? Don't
yeah,
they manufacture things in like
Wisconsin.
China?
But you know
yeah,
how,
and
yeah.
maybe Wisconsin,
Wisconsin
too.
You know the skit with Lucy and she can't grab enough chocolates off of the conveyor belt, right? The guitars were going by the conveyor belt and they
yeah.
couldn't put the screws in fast enough. So they just let two fly.
Yep.
Ah, forget it. We don't need those two.
Yeah, so check this out. The coolest thing about this guitar, the strum bar, whatever you call it, the piece of plastic that's supposed to be a string,
yeah.
right? I don't know if you guys got this, right? But I just inadvertently realized, just through my natural gyrations... and expressions while playing it.
Before you say anything, I bet it's something that everyone's noticed, but go ahead.
That there's a very, very specific reason why it has that little, like, nub there at the end, right? And it's really like an extruded nub. It's not like a nub, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's because, like, you can kind of put your thumb under it and just, like, flick it like a string. And
yeah.
That's totally
that's kind of the
sweet.
Point, I think.
Yeah, I know it's the point. I'm trying to tell a story here. What did Rich like drink like some kind of like Haterade before the show?
I didn't do anything.
What?
I was playing Rock Band before the show,
yeah.
is what I was doing.
He's pepped up.
He's definitely pepped up. I can hear that.
So
I think that was totally awesome, and I was just jamming away. And you know
did you know you can both sing and play another instrument at one time as long as you have the controller for the singer plugged in?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yep. It's yeah. very right. hard, though.
What I mean is, like, you can use the headset. Like, we figured out you can remove the USB mic and then plug in the headset and just say resume, and it'll hear from the headset. So you can... I was trying to do both parts last night because someone came over and I was like, oh, you're going to sing with us.
Pretty
and she's
fail.
Like, yeah, sure. And then she sucked hardcore. So I put on the headset mic and trying to read the words to a
yeah.
song you don't know and read the guitar part, not easy to do at the same time.
I'd imagine that would be hard. But maybe not on Epic.
I suggest
but maybe
that
Epic's hard to sing as it is.
I bet it's easier than playing the drums and the guitar at the same time. I would make that argument.
That's a challenge.
I think that'd be impossible, unless you're playing on easy, which case it might be possible.
I saw some headline about someone trying to be the one-man band somewhere. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to be practicing my voice for Epic, though.
Okay.
So mark my words.
So we had some problems with the interface, right? Because we're trying to play with multiple people. And for anyone who's tried to play basically any multiplayer game on the Xbox and go on Xbox Live, pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we weren't even trying to get on Xbox
Live. It wasn't
Live.
Even Xbox
It just has
Live.
The same hideous requirements that other games do when going on Xbox Live without going on Xbox Live. And it's all due to, I think it has more to do with like an effort to save the game appropriately so that each person can carry the band members and whatever.
Yeah.
But anytime someone logs out or logs in, you've got everybody has to tell it what hard drive or memory card they want to have the save part on. And you've got to have like the lead of the band logged in, and the lead of the band can't change what he plays. So like,
that's really annoying.
Yeah, Floyd and the Crispy Pops. Who's the leader?
It's Pop. It's Pop.
Pop, the singer.
The singer, which was just stupid
to
do.
Singer? All right, so Pop but, singer.
So if you play with that band, Pop has to be on singing. Otherwise, you cannot play as that band.
Yeah, you can't. That band can't be played
it's
without
impossible.
A human singer.
Can you? I don't know if it's different in the single player tour. If you can change your instruments that you play whenever you want through your tour.
I bet you can't.
I don't know.
I would probably guess no.
Tried that,
and I haven't even tried.
Which is really
disappointing. I just put in the guitar and I play. What?
Because I mean, if
you haven't tried the drums yet,
no, not
how
yet.
Did you not play drums?
Because
yet?
The guitar is so rockingly awesome
yes,
that I don't have
know.
Time to you know put my hands on this four piece.
Okay.
I don't know
Dude,
what's going on.
Drums are way cooler.
I gotta say,
though.
By the way,
you can stick with the drums.
Yes. Be My Girl from Jet is in the game. I didn't realize that. Like I didn't pay attention to the songs that are in the game. I wanted to be surprised. So we played a day, and Jet, it was good times. I like singing that.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to sing. I don't like to sing in front of people, but this game, it's brought it out of me. It's like DDR, man. I don't dance in front of people, but I said, I'm in a DDR, and I dance it up, and now maybe I can sing with my voice is horrible. It's.
But he really blasts it, though. He's excited.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you've got a great radio voice. And I said, no, I think that's just because you hear the voice on the radio, so you think it's a radio voice. And then when my friends will come on the radio, hey, you know what? I didn't sound so bad on the radio either. I know. So
that's what everyone told me like after like my third show. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh, you're fantastic. It's just that you're famous and everyone wants to be your friend now. So anyway, the interface has some issues because anytime you do something, it requires
really
you to
annoying.
Through all these stages. Can we sum it up in any other way other than just saying it's annoying?
It's really annoying. It's just inconvenient and heinous.
Yeah, I think that's a good
It took us forever to just figure out how to have, like, player one playing as well. We always thought you had to have some profile built and set up. So if three friends came over and it was just your Xbox, you only had one profile, that all three of them would have to make a profile. Apparently you don't have to, but we're not quite sure how to accomplish it. We just know we did at some point.
Yep.
Anyway, a little bit of a pain, but once you get it going, and it's beautiful. Although having to play Mississippi Queen 80 times is really getting on my
Lord,
nerves.
Oh, my Lord. That's not fun.
Anyway, I know a lot of our listeners have played, and maybe they don't want to hear us rant on for an entire show. So we'll limit it to just the first segment.
One thing about the controller.
Yeah.
I was thinking that... What was your name again?
Aura.
Aura.
Come on,
it's
the show you're the host
It's pretty
name.
Easy to remember.
My bad. I apologize. I'm not even from this country.
That's all right. We'll give you a pass for the segment.
Okay, but the controller, the Guitar Hero controller, and I don't know about the Guitar Hero 3 controller, the new one that came with that, because I didn't get it. But different than all the other controllers is the strum bar is completely silent.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have that click.
Yeah.
Click.
And I think that's totally awesome. Although, like, you do trade off.
Are
the fact
are we
that
talking about the Rock Band guitar?
The Rock Band guitar.
Because
mine.
You said Guitar Hero.
My Rock Band guitar controller, that strum bar is silent, rather than having
noise.
That annoying...
Yeah, they introduced the drums that make more noise than any guitar.
Well, yeah.
All right, so when you come back, we're going to talk about Chatterbox misogyny. We're going to talk about IGN and gamer impassionment, if that's a word, because some people get really crazy. And, we got a few other things down the pike. Stay tuned.
Listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
My name's Crispy Pot.
I thought I was...
All right, that's Rich. And, of course, we've got Robert and George in the studio with us, members of our elite band. We're number one in the rock band ratings.
So I don't get this. What is this number one? Like, how are you number one?
We're number one.
What
in
did
Elon's
you do to
house.
Get number one?
You go on my Xbox. It's the number one most awesome band.
Yeah, but what makes you so awesome? I mean, I can understand the brilliant,
dude,
you know,
screw you. Have you seen
Christ
Floyd
Crispy's
and the Crispy
reference.
Pops? Listen, number one band. All right, so I promised you a little discussion about IGN. Now, we have people calling the studio. Why do people call? They want to talk about stuff. Are we that awesome a show that we get callers? 866-536-1100, everybody, if you want to call. Also, by the way, I have to remind everyone to head over to UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, a wonderful sponsor of our show, and even local. Rich, you still going there? You still surviving? You haven't been kicked out yet?
I was not kicked out.
Okay, good. So let's take Pen 15. Pen, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. What can we do for you today?
Well, I want to call in about Call of Duty 4. I recently got to play it for the first time.
Really? Yeah. That, I hear, is a fantastic game. Rich is a big fan.
That sounds like a kid's game.
It is a fun game, although I have one little problem with it.
I disagree.
For all the realism that the game has, it actually has almost zero violence in the game.
You still have to use a controller to play it. How weird.
It's what? So it's not enough violence?
Well, the problem is, in a game like this, there's no emotional attachment to what you're doing in the game.
My problem was I thought it was about fishing.
Well, have you played through the whole game?
I'm pretty much 75% done.
Okay, have you shot the guy's arm off yet? Spoiler.
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought that was pretty violent. I don't know.
But that's cool. That's pretty much the only scene.
And then when you shoot the guy in the helicopter and blood splatters
over the
windshield.
Okay, yeah, that's really awesome. But I think you're trying to get to a point.
I don't know.
Well, the point is like an old game on the N64 I always played was Turok 2. And
wait, why?
It was a lot of fun, despite what most people say.
Weren't you 10 when that came out?
No, I wasn't.
9?
I was like 15.
Give it to me straight. 15?
Yeah, 14, 15, I think.
All right, I'll allow it. Keep going.
And, that game is famous for the cerebral bore and being very violent, but a lot of times you would see the creatures that you killed, like, flopping around on the ground, screaming in pain, and there were moments of feeling guilt.
That's just a claim looking for people to buy their game.
So basically,
did you know the German version doesn't even have blood? It's just robots.
So
Pen
15 wants to feel guilty about the fake digital creatures he kills.
I agree that I think that's the point he's trying to make.
Well, in a game like Call of Duty 4, it makes more sense. I'm not specifically saying that Turok 2 is the example that you should follow, but in a game like, for example, Postal, I would kill somebody, and then a woman would say, like, oh, I can't see, and it would be heartbreaking to do that. And you actually feel bad for killing someone.
Did you really feel bad, though?
I did.
The truth is that Call of Duty 4 is actually U.S. military propaganda to get us desensitized, to want to join the military and not care about killing people. Isn't that right, Robert?
Actually, I think about this specific topic quite a bit because I'm a strict vegetarian, so of course I think like you shouldn't kill things. But in video games, I have no qualms with like stabbing babies because it's a freaking virtual baby. It doesn't actually exist.
Dude,
I don't care.
Dude, in 1969, L. Ron Hubbard proved that plants feel pain. How do you feel about that?
I think that's no good.
I'm just messing with you.
I can't say what I want to say on the radio.
So basically, Pen 15 wants more violence and wants to feel bad about it.
No, I think what he's saying, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that, you know, basically, like, if there's going to be weight to doing an action that's so visceral as, like, killing, and really you want to use stronger words than that, then, you know, you should... There's some value, right, into actually, you know, giving the player some means to actually feel that weight there. And then, you know, if a lot of games were like that, maybe everybody wouldn't be so much against the whole violent thing because, you know, violence in games, as they're expressed, is rather flippant.
Well, an example I always use is Manhunt. A lot of people played that for the shock value, but I was always interested in the sort of emotional response that people would have to playing the game, in that I wasn't really interested in that I can do a very brutal kill. It was more interesting to see people actually be motivated by the enemies yelling at you and being mean to you, and Starkweather yelling in your ear
the
that you're not doing it well.
Was my favorite part.
The what?
The feces tossing.
That Manhunt 1 or 2?
Number 2.
I only played the first one.
So your interest is more in the, like, you know, academic Dr. Hannibal Lecter vein.
Well, let me ask, though. Are you saying, like, people watching and their response, or the response of the NPCs in the game?
Well, actually, my response and anybody watching me play, they pretty much had the same response. And they would, like, when you get frustrated with the game, you could literally take it out on them by, because you don't have to do the brutal kills. You could do level 1 kills, which are still bad, but they're not as horrible as the level 3 kills. There's never a point in the game where you have to do those type of kills. But because you hate the enemies in the game, you grow to hate them, and there's this sense of powerlessness throughout the whole game, you end up doing them, and especially since the whole time you have a guy in your ear telling you to. And in Call of Duty 4, like, I'm not specifically saying that the enemies should be brutalized, but it would be interesting to see my comrades that are with me. If something happens to them, I want to feel something instead of, oh, damn, that guy's in my way again.
All right, listen, thank you for the call. This actually rolls very well into what I wanted to talk about regarding impassioned gamers. So thank you very much for calling in. And I think, Rob, you wanted to say something about this as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, not every game can do everything well. So consider that you're not playing Mass Effect or Oblivion. And if you want that, go play Mass Effect or Oblivion, or like you're saying, Manhunt.
No, but I mean, there's always room for adding coolness to the game, right? And they did a lot of things well, and I can't blame them for not putting it in. But, and like, I don't even know. I haven't played Call of Duty 4 to know that the guy's not on the ground upset. But it would be cool to have him, like, they're all mad and whatever. But that would also potentially detract from the game, because the point of the game, at least what I've seen multiplayer-wise, which is different than what we were discussing here.
Yeah, the single player is completely different.
Multiplayer is very fast. You don't want to be distracted by that sort of thing. I have a feeling they put a lot of their energy into the multiplayer, and they want to focus on, you know, you kill somebody, your next task is not to feel remorse. The next task is to kill 5 more people. And so that might take away from it. Now, in the single player, they could certainly add it. They could make it different. And, you know, people on the ground, writhing in pain and no arms and whatever. Like, that when you shoot the guy's arm off, does he get all upset?
Well, he kind of runs away right away. But,
You do get moments like that in Call of Duty 4 in the single player. You have, I mean, there's one part of a stage that I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's basically dedicated exclusively to showing you how effed up stuff is when a country goes to war.
Yeah.
Messed up scene, and there's no actual violence, but it's exclusively like you sort of reflecting on the events of the, you know, first part of the game.
If I remember correctly, Call of Duty 2 certainly did that with lots of people.
Yeah.
You know, the opening stage on the beach and whatever.
Yeah,
was the opening stage on the beach?
One of the stages was on the beach. I don't think it was the opening stage.
I don't know. There's so many World War II shooters. I just don't care about them.
Any movie and video game that does the Normandy Beach thing, they always try to make a big deal out of it. And they did a great job.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to move away from this particular topic into what we were also going to say. We've sort of run out of time for this segment. We might do it next time. How many minutes do we have left, Soundman? 90 seconds. All right, that's not really enough. But what we're going to do is we're going to play a little clip from a recent 1UP. No, it's not 1UP. It's IGN.
IGN podcast.
Excuse me for the confusion.
Whatever,
IGN podcast, where a guy gets a wee bit upset about Gabe from Penny Arcade. And I try not to have any bias here because we do some stuff with Penny Arcade people, but, you know, it deserves some defending, or not even defending, just mockery.
Yeah.
The guy's a little silly. And just think about it. When you play your games, how pissed off do you get? How many controllers have you broken against the wall? And when you talk to your friends about video games, do you think the experience is the same? Do you think you should defend things tooth and nail when you're just talking about stuff? And then there's the escalation of emotion when you're actually playing. And then there's a real escalation of emotion when you're actually doing something real. So just think about that. Talking to people about playing games is even dumber, or to get emotional about it, even dumber than when you're playing the game, which in itself is still virtual and really has no real world response. All right, so we're going to...
Unless you're rocking out on Rock Band.
Well, no, except in Rock Band.
Rock Band.
I yell all the time. He doesn't play well, he's getting kicked out of the band next time.
I do better than you.
I don't need to hear that negativity from you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because you suck. You take it on. Listen, we'll be back.
That's it. I'm quitting the band.
Put down the syringe.
Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. Floyd and the Crispy Pops in the studio this evening. Joining us...
Aura. Shirinian.
And, this is Rich.
Rich? You know, you can move the mic during the show.
It's going to make sound.
Rich has rolled under the desk and will remain there for the remainder of the show.
That's cool. And of course,
we built a fort.
We also have Rob and George with us as well. And I'm Alon. Now, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about our show. Of course, you're listening to our show, so you probably already know about it. Unless you just found us on iTunes or whatever. But, you know, clickety-clack, you'll get there.
And maybe you're one of the millions of live listeners.
Yes, 866-536-1100, by the way. So we are going to listen to a little clip from IGN. You may have heard about this if you're a Penny Arcade fan. Let's just go ahead and roll it.
To follow up on the crap that Gabe from Penny Arcade said,
yes, I
did get the damn vision of the future thing because I saw it. It looks like crap for one. For two, I don't want Indigo Prophecy and Assassin's Creed. I want Assassin's Creed. And if you're going to throw that crap in, throw it in before the ending where it's just one little quick glimpse. It's not explained. It has absolutely no relevance on the plot. Get it together. Figure it out. And if you're going to do stuff like that, throw it in where it actually has some freaking relevance instead of giving me a cliffhanger where I'm going to have to wait another year and a half before I can even see the sequel. Shut the hell up, do your damn comics, and don't even start giving me this crap about what exactly we do as a reviewer. You just write things and do things as a freaking comic artist.
Okay. Also, this
All right, let's turn that off.
That guy sounds pretty pissed, huh?
Oh, we called him a schmuck.
Yeah, he did.
So, now...
Okay, I don't even understand. Is he criticizing the people who made Assassin's Creed?
He was complaining about the designers.
Gabe.
Well, he was, you know, for part of it, he was, for those who don't know much about Assassin's Creed, I'm not going to bother talking about it because it's not my point right now, but that guy was complaining about Assassin's Creed and the plot decisions, you know, that the designers took.
Okay, I just want to draw attention to something real briefly here. Okay, notice how much he's like, I want.
Yes.
Okay.
I noticed that.
Okay, thank you.
Ara, being a designer himself, has some feelings. But thank you for reserving them for right now. So he's really, really passionate, and he's complaining about basically Ubisoft making the game, and he didn't like some of the direction they took towards the end. I've heard the ending is pretty much piss poor. But then...
From almost everybody.
Yeah, Gabe from Penny Arcade was... you know, he said he liked the game, and then IGN reviewed it less than stellar in some people's opinion. Apparently, Gabe says he wasn't even talking about the IGN review, which is even more funny.
Yeah.
Gabe, by the way, is fantastic at making people feel like crap and feel unwanted. His last sentence about this whole thing was like, it must have been a real thrill for him to believe he was relevant, which is, he always has been good at that. So my point is, the point that I want to make is, just listen to how, the word I used before is impassioned, the guy is, and he's talking about video games. Now, we talk about video games on a weekly basis here on Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. By the way,
and maybe even impassioned as well.
Did you know this is show number 200?
Really?
Yay, everybody! It's applause time. We practiced clapping before the show started.
That's
today.
The second time we've done applause in this show. I don't think we've ever done it before. Yeah.
We have a studio audience of over 5,000.
So,
only 10 of them are
today
clapping.
Is show 200, and I should get excited about that, but I'm not so excited because it really isn't that relevant to the rest of the world. So this guy's getting really, really mad, really upset about something. Like, I hope he had a really bad day and that's the explanation, but I'm wondering, and I kind of questioned this to Rich or just stated it, maybe the fact that I don't get so passionate about games anymore means I shouldn't even host the show. Like, I don't know. Maybe I have a level head and that makes me a better host. I try to see it from both sides. I try to not to, like, I try not to get too hyped about stuff. That's why I don't listen to Rich when he reads any preview.
I like hype, man. It's fun.
With maturity, certainly there comes, you know, a whole truckload of just not giving an S about things.
Nice one, Alon.
That was
good.
Me.
Good.
And
but I mean, this also leads to what Pen15 was saying. He wants emotion in games, and I think that would be great. But outside of the game, I don't know why emotion really needs to be there. And this leads also in to
maybe,
an email.
Maybe he's just jealous. Maybe, you know.
It must be. Rich was saying, before I actually heard the clip, he was telling me about it. And I thought he was basically trying to say, like, towards the end, he said, you just sit and write your comics. And
yeah.
I think that was just him being angry
and having it carry over into.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, if Gabe talks like that as much as you say that he does, he's so good at it. I mean, that pissed me off too.
No, but
it's funny though.
I mean, my point is,
it's funny when you're not the target of it. I guess
I got the impression when we were first discussing this that the guy was saying Gabe isn't relevant in the review industry, right?
And yeah, that's he kind of called him out. We cut the end off where he kind of says, "You just draw comics like I'm a game reviewer. Like you don't really have anything to say about what makes a game good or whatnot."
Right.
It's so, the ironic thing
is that neither do the reviewers.
Oh, yeah.
Well the bottom...
It would be interesting to see, and I would bet lots of money that the site that gets the most traffic between IGN and Penny Arcade's review section by that one guy, I'm just going to let that one lay.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear.
The fact is that whether you're reviewing a game, like, in practice or intentionally, like, if your opinion has an effect, then that's when you become a reviewer. That's when you become a critic. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, Gabe and Tycho are probably the most powerful video game critics in the industry. I can't think of anyone else who probably moves more product.
As an actual name? Yeah. Right. I mean, you know who Gabe and Tycho is.
Well, and we listen to the reviews of them because specifically of who they are. That's why we listen to them.
And
because
they're so good at dissing
people. They have earned people's respect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas the guys on IGN and this show, like, nobody cares about our opinions.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean,
George, the quiet member of the band, has something to say.
Let's allow George to speak.
Well, I think part of what's really pissing off this guy is that, I don't remember if it was Gabe or Tycho, but about 2 months ago, they were talking about, you know, the review industry at this point is just kind of silly. I mean, trying to ascribe a number to a video game, that's a 10 to 20 hour experience. And if you're talking about your industry is useless, don't even bother. I mean, he's probably at this point a little steamed about Penny Arcade in general. And then when his particular review about Assassin's Creed he had called into question, he's like, you know, probably bad day there. He doesn't like Penny Arcade, and now
he stepped on his dog that day. I think that's what happened.
Well, and admittedly, I think it was which one has the poorer English skills? That's Tycho, right?
No, Tycho is the one who's respected
super smart
for the
guy?
Writing and the big words and whatever.
Okay. Anyway, well, Gabe obviously is not an English major. So, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have good opinions, and I think that guy may have been sort of
talking
about...
He does a fine job, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. He doesn't have the same, like...
Panache?
Yes. He doesn't make me go to the dictionary as often as Tycho does.
Right.
But just because he's not an English major doesn't mean that he is incapable of having a valid opinion, and in fact, it's been made clear over the past couple of years that he really does.
Yeah.
Well, really, I mean, the validity of anybody's opinions that are expressed, I mean, it has nothing to do with where they're coming from, right? I mean, that's all they are. You know, it's like, I don't understand why people even care, like, oh, this guy said this was good, and I think it's better than the other thing, and I disagree, and I'm more important than he. Like, who cares?
Well, let's listen to a little email that we got last week after Rich said that he didn't like Zelda.
Phantom Hourglass is a bad game.
Yeah, so the new one on the Game Boy, or the Nintendo DS, I always call it a Game Boy, right? The Nintendo DS.
Like, what is this thing about, like, there has to be some kind of, like platonic, like, static level of, like, what a game is that, like, you know, whoever's got that right is right, and whoever doesn't is just wrong.
Sound awfully passionate, sir.
I am! I mean...
Well, consider that Siskel and Ebert got famous for writing reviews of movies because they usually had an opinion that sort of jived with the mainstream.
Yeah.
I feel that Gabe and Tycho are probably in the same spot.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
now,
they like
Here's
Pearl
what,
Harbor,
after a bad
so.
Review, we got from someone who's not on the show. Blah, 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 blah. Zelda's not bad. And then he says, the only part that actually gets boring is the boat travel. Again, if you don't like it, fine. Just mention that Phantom Hourglass is a great game for the DS, because obviously it is, if everyone likes the game except you guys. So he's telling us
just
that on
it.
Our show,
just say it's good.
We should mention it's a good game. Like, that has some sort of importance. Clearly, he's upset about something. And we'll talk about it when we get back.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Aura.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
With us, we have the extra members of Floyd and the Crispy Pops.
Yeah.
So,
can you believe we weren't even like paid to sponsor?
You're number one. You got to mention your number one. That's
in
right.
Casa de Alon, rock band Floyd and the Crispy Pops. So, before we move on, of course, I have to remind everyone about UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. We always do that. We do that a lot because we love them and they, you know, make it happen. So, head over to uat.edu if you want to learn more. We were just talking about someone who decided to tell us how to run the show, and
we always appreciate that. There was a line in that letter that you just read last segment that I want you to read again, something about, just tell people it's good or whatever.
Just mention that Phantom Hourglass is a great game for the DS, because obviously it is, if everyone likes the game except you guys.
Okay, this is the thing that pisses me off, and yes, I've found something to be passionate about.
We need background music for you.
And yeah, and really, I mean, we need a lot more echo. But anyway, this is what I don't understand. It's that so many people are obsessed about being right about whether something's good or not, right? It's not about, I mean, people get into like arguments about games or discussions about games. Let's call them discussions, okay? And there's so many discussions are about, oh, it's good. No, it's not. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Well, this is really good. Well,
tastes
no,
great.
It's really bad. And yeah, and it's like,
what? I wasn't paying
attention. Yeah. Filling.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, see, I don't understand this. If you're going to talk about something, I mean, you have reasons. I mean, it's like a discussion. It's like, well, you know, try to articulate something more than like, oh, it's good. I mean, that's the most boring thing to say. Or, oh, it's bad.
Well, we skipped past the part where he says the controls do work. And
okay, but
he calls someone a Guga.
Well, that's
Guga,
wrong.
Right,
controls
that's,
don't work.
That's okay.
Well,
see,
in
this
your
is
opinion,
exactly,
your opinion is commonly wrong.
You guys,
so I'll give the guy
well,
a hand.
Hey,
this is exactly what I'm talking about. Even though he articulated a little bit more, that's still the same thing as saying, oh, well, okay, well, the controls are good. No, they're not. They're not good.
Well,
I mean, why don't you talk about some details here, guys?
Well, not everybody is a game designer and can express, you know, exactly what they don't like about the game, and so I can appreciate that.
Right,
and
but people
with all
can talk
respect,
about, like, you know, maybe how they feel about it or the experience
you.
Of it or something like that. Yes, lay it on me, Rich.
With
I'm
the
ready
controls.
For you.
And this is why the controls are bad on the DS and most DS games is when you're moving around, you can see, like, half the screen because if your stylus is on one side, your hand covers up the rest of the screen so you don't know what's going on the other side of the screen at all.
Okay, there we go. Now that wasn't so
and
hard, was it?
And that's not nice when there's an enemy behind you and you can't see it.
That's what happens with maturity. And when you go to game design school, you
this
can
is
express
true.
Yourself.
Not,
this is
it's
true.
Not good.
All right, so with all due respect, it probably is a good game. I haven't even
it's
played
not.
It. But
I really
Rich
want
is,
to like Phantom Hourglass.
You are the
Hourglass.
Only one who says the
don't
bad
get
game.
Me wrong. I really want to like Phantom Hourglass. I'm a huge Zelda fan, and I played the game for probably, I want to say I put eight hours into it, and I just couldn't play it anymore. It's just not fun, and it's just, ugh.
All right. Well,
okay,
we're
going to have a discussion on another show about the word fun.
We have to move on to other listener mail, but we also want to talk about some broken Xbox 360. So, Ara, what's most important to you? This misogyny mail?
Misogyny. Let's go for misogyny, guys.
All right. So, a games dev girl writes to us. Hi, guys. Do I have a girl voice? Can I get in the girl voice?
Hi,
guys.
Try.
Hi, guys. Just finished listening to show 199. This is show 200, by the way, everybody.
I think if you're talking about misogyny, you might want to avoid the girl voice because it makes you sound kind of...
No, it's good. Good.
Like I'm playing up the irony.
Go with it, dude.
Throw me a bone. I love the show and listen every week, which is why it pains me to say it's fortunate that most men in game development, at least that I've met and worked with, don't display the same shamefully antiquated misogynistic misanthropy with which Alon and Ara seem to view women in the industry.
How wonderfully alliterative.
Yes, but still, being branded skanks by puerile gamer boys as soon as we show ourselves outside the office sure as hell doesn't make it any easier to be taken seriously
yeah,
in our chosen
what?
Careers.
When we leave the studio every night, we talk about all those skanks.
Don't get me wrong, the OMG girls on the interweb style jokes come with the territory, but honestly, guys, grow up. We can't help it that we're smart and pretty. At least Rich has a healthy attitude. That's so funny. At least Rich has a healthy attitude towards his future colleagues.
I don't know what I said.
And some knowledge of the roles of employees in the industry.
Nothing.
Okay, rant over. Keep up the entertaining shows. I'll be keeping my ear on you. So seriously, sorry about that voice. I just had to chime in.
Okay, so she doesn't tell us who she is.
No, and that's fine. And I really respect this email. I appreciate that she sent it. Unfortunately, she hasn't responded to your response. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
I don't even know if she gave us a legitimate email address as a reply.
It looks legitimate.
But because it bounced back once and then like a second time. Anyway.
If you didn't get our response, let us know, by the way.
Here's the funny thing is that, this happens all the time. We'll make a comment about something and there'll be listeners invariably who will just extrapolate that and just project it onto like some kind of gloriously broad thing that we weren't talking about. I don't even know what we said that was like, skanks?
I used the word skanks, but I wasn't trying to say that all women are. And I was talking down to Jade Raymond because I'd never heard of her. And then all of a sudden, she's this face on this big new Ubisoft game. She comes out and everybody on, in the stands at the Xbox E3 media event or whatever, just wanted to jump on top of her. And I thought that was very interesting. I thought to myself, when the hell did that person get into the game industry? Now, that was simply my immediate response. All right. That doesn't mean I don't actually respect women in real life, because, of course, I'm trying to be an entertainer at the same time on the show. And also, my response demonstrates, it sort of goes hand in hand with the comic that came out. So feel free not to respect me. I don't really care about that. And I'm not trying to say that women are incapable of being in the game industry.
No, the funny thing
although
is,
it's rare.
The funny thing is we weren't making a comment about women in the video game industry at all. Like we weren't even talking about that. We're talking about this comic and how it's an observation about how, a lot of women are viewed, which they are,
yeah,
which
we were
if you don't
making,
admit, you're putting your head in the sand, right. Honestly.
Essentially making the same points that she makes, that people don't, when I say she, I mean the person who wrote this email.
We're assuming she's female?
Well, she says she is.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
She says she's smart and pretty. By the way, you've got my email address.
All right.
But we were trying to make the same point that people have this idiotic viewpoint, but also can make really funny comics.
It's possible.
That was my point. So thank you for writing such a wonderful email. Next time, just accompany it with a picture to prove your point. I would appreciate it greatly. Robert doesn't apparently share my viewpoint.
If it's a guy, he's just going to download some picture of like semi-porn and send it to you.
No guy would have written this email. It was actually, we've been getting better emails lately, by
this
the way.
This is true.
Ever since I complain that people don't know how to write.
They use words with like more than four syllables, which is rather impressive, I must say.
Does it explicitly say that the writer is female? Or
yes,
is it just,
it's regards, yeah. a games dev girl.
And I was disappointed not to know
what game
she's devving. You know?
Listen, it could be, but that's not the point.
Here's an interesting point, though. We're out of time again, but I mean, here's the thing. In our industry, it's like, some really small fraction of women, right? So there's a lot of attention that's paid to that. And, some people say, and she alluded to this in her email, right? She's like, it's hard being a woman in the industry and stuff like that. And I don't know. The places I've been, we treat women as equals, right? And
but you still try to go out with them.
We're professional. And, of course we still try to go out with them, among other things.
Business and pleasure, dude.
Hey.
Bad mech. Anyway, seriously, thank you very much for the email. Feel free to send more, everybody. You can see our emails on chatterboxgameshow.com. That is the addresses, not the emails themselves. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening to episode 200.
Business and pleasure.
Rock on Floyd in the crispy box!
That's three applauses.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases belong to us.